Welcome to the I Speak FSBO podcast, where we pull back the curtain from the real estate industry and expose everything they don't want you to know. We share tips, tricks, myths, and truths to fight against outdated real estate traditions so you can sell your home for top dollar without having to pay a dime in commission or sacrifice your time. It's time for homeowners to take back the power and break up the monopoly. This is the I Speak FSBO podcast, and this is your host, Josh Knox.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Josh with the I Speak FSBO podcast. Welcome to the episode today. I wanted to talk to you today about probably the biggest glaring thing that you need when you're a for sale by owner, and that is a buyer. And I wanted to talk to you about the many different ways that you can find a buyer. And these are all, none of these are exclusive to for sale by owners. In fact, most of the professionals industry are going to use these ways to find buyers. But it's important for you to know all the different ways to find a buyer so that when you're going through the process, you can pull all of these different levers to find that right buyer for your property. And as I've said before, you only need one buyer for the sale to be successful. One buyer that is to actually complete it. In some cases, people will get multiple buyers bidding on their property, pushing the price up. In some cases, people will get a buyer to make an offer, go partway through the process, and then cancel the contract. And so it does require another buyer. What I say is you only need one buyer to complete the process for it to be successful. So let's talk about the multiple different ways to find a buyer, how you can find a buyer. So the first one is by getting your property online. The second one is through signs. Another way is through flyers. Another way is through open houses. Another way is talking to your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. And then finally, another way is to work with a buyer's agent if they bring you the right buyer. So online, what are the many different ways you can list or get your property exposed online? Of course, there's the catch-all, which is your local MLS. And if you put your property on the local MLS, there is a very good chance that you're going to end up paying a buyer's agent commission. And for some people, that works just fine. For others, it doesn't. For me, I was able to get my property listed online, not on the MLS, but through a different online portal, and ended up finding the buyer through a yard sign and close without having to use any real estate agents. But if you do put it on the MLS, it's okay to offer less than a full commission, a full 3%. It's okay to, you know, offer as low as 1% or 0.5% or a flat fee. People are doing that and homes are still selling. In fact, I have seen properties list buyer's agent commission percentages higher than 3%, 4%, in some cases 5%. It's not necessarily the percentage that sells the house. It's the house itself, how well it's prepared, how well it's marketed, how well it's priced, you know, and then the right buyer is going to come along. And if you've prepared it the right way and priced it the right way, then you're going to get traffic. If you get traffic, then you're likely going to find a buyer. What looks to be the right way, if you prepare it what looks to be the right way and you get traffic and no offers, then something's amiss and you have to troubleshoot from there. But I don't want to get too far off topic here. So online, you can go the traditional route on the MLS. And let me say one thing about the MLS. It's okay to put in that listing description that you'll incentivize a buyer to not bring an agent with them. Remember, a lot of the MLSs in the country have public access because it's all about getting exposure to that property. And the public access can see public remarks. You just need to make sure you put in your remarks or your quote unquote listing description when you put it on the MLS that you're willing to incentivize a buyer if they don't have a buyer's agent. And of course, we'll talk about how you can do that in other places as well. Okay, so MLS for online, you can do social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You could put it on Pinterest if you like. Anything social media related where you can get your message out for free by creating a post, putting pictures of your property out, writing up a description, interacting with people that have questions about it. There are more than enough people on Facebook looking for real estate property, looking for homes. That is a massive, it is a multi-million dollar a year business for real estate agents to advertise on Facebook. So when you put your information out there as a property for sale, and I have a whole podcast talking about the strategy of how to use social media, that is one way to get it online. You just keep talking about it. You share that social media post with your friends and your family and your coworkers and your neighbors, and they'll share it with people. People talk. They're always interested in what the other person's doing. And if they know somebody's looking for a house, they'll mention it to them. They may not even know what the person is looking for in a home, but they know that their friend is looking for a house, and they'll say, well, hey, something just came up here. Why don't you take a look at it? People will interact. I see husbands tagging wives in postings. I see wives tagging husbands in postings. I see other couples tagging each other in postings. It happens. It's out there. And so you want to get it on social media. You also want to get on Zillow and claim your property listing. Now, you don't want to trust, if you do choose to list through an MLS portal, and you can do that, I should have said, for a flat fee. If you choose to do that, you want to make sure that you still control the Zillow listing, because a lot of MLS, what's the best way to say this? A lot of MLS websites don't necessarily propagate or send their information to Zillow as fast as you can create the listing and keep it updated. So when you go to Zillow, you want to make sure you claim your property listing. And here's another little tip. When you write your Zillow listing, put your name and number in that first part of the description as the contact point. You can also put in there, if you're a listing agent or you want to try and list my property, please don't call me. I'm not going to say that people aren't going to not call you that are listing agents, because they get phone numbers from a lot of places, but it's a little tip. But if you'll put your name and number in the top of that box, you're going to get more phone calls from buyers than you probably would otherwise, because Zillow is set up to have your information as the home seller. And there's a form that you fill out. You put in your contact information. But Zillow shows that number nearly at the bottom of the page, and it's always beneath the realtors that are paying for advertising when your listing comes up. So to get more phone calls, make sure you put your name and your number in that listing. You can put your property on Craigslist. That's another place that you can put it online. Pictures, a listing description, a way to get a hold of you, or a way to book. I share in my... in another podcast that you can use free online calendaring tools, things like Calendly or Acuity.com, Calendly.com or Acuity.com, to set up showing times for people to be able to see your house. You can put those links on Craigslist. Another place would be a local news website. So if you've got your local news, your ABC, NBC, CBS affiliate, whatever, they might have an online portal where they do their news, and they might have an online classifieds. Check that out. Okay. The other thing you can do is signs. Of course, everybody puts a yard sign in, but are you doing directional signs as well? When you do a yard sign, I highly recommend you pay the $25 or $35 or whatever, $45. You're not going to spend more than that to get a professional sign made. You can put a really great looking sign in a yard that says for sale with your name and number on it. You can get those printed actually very, very inexpensively. You can go to online and just do like real estate sign, and you can just buy one of them. You don't need to get the traditional for sale by owner that attracts the crowd that you're not necessarily looking for. I'm not suggesting that an investor or somebody like that wouldn't give you a good offer on your house that you could work with, or that somebody driving by wouldn't necessarily be interested in your property. But the better your sign looks, the better chance you have of driving really, really good qualified traffic to your house to take a look at it and make you an offer. When you do that, get directional signs. Get 10 to 15 of them, because the more traffic you can direct from streets around your house within, you know, a half mile to mile radius, the better off you're going to be. If people still drive around and look at houses, they don't always go online first. They don't always call a realtor first. In fact, the percentage of people that start looking for a house first without a real estate agent is very high. It's above 70%. That doesn't mean people always end up not using a real estate agent to buy a house, but it still happens. And so having signs out there, especially directional signs, are important to you being successful. Okay, the next thing is flyers. And you want to have flyers made up. I talk about this on a different podcast. You can go to a website called Canva, C-A-N-V-A, V as in Victor, A.com, canva.com. And you can create for free real estate flyers. You can put pictures of your house on there. You can write a little description. You can put a price. There's actually free templates on that website to create those flyers. So you want to create them to, you know, put them on your sign, on your signpost, or if you've got one of those metal signposts that sticks into the ground, you can get a little flyer box to hang in there for, you know, $10 from Lowe's or Home Depot, or you can even order them from Amazon. You also want to use those flyers to give out at local restaurants. A lot of local restaurants, including local coffee shops or local breakfast restaurants, have public bulletin boards. And so long as you follow the rules on those public bulletin boards, there's a very good chance you can put your property for sale up in there. If you live in a college town, you can put those up on bulletin boards in colleges. And it's not always a student that you're looking right to buy your house, but professors work there and they see those bulletin boards as well. You want to have them for open houses. You want to have those flyers ready for that. And then another thing that people often overlook is just door knocking in your neighborhood, your extended neighborhood. Those within a half mile around you, and just let people know that your house is for sale. You're the owner. If you know anybody looking, here's a flyer for it. And people will give out your flyer, or they may share it with somebody they know at work or at church or other social gatherings. You never know who's going to share your flyer. So you always want to have it available, and especially when you go door knocking, so that people have something tangible they can take and pass along to somebody else. Okay, moving along, you're going to do open houses. That's a way to find a buyer. So when you're holding open houses, of course, you're going to want to have flyers for that. I just mentioned that. But I just spoke to, and it's on a podcast that's a few down the line in the past, where I spoke with a homeowner who put his house under contract by holding an open house. And the way he utilized to get traffic to his open house was by talking to the other agents in the neighborhood whose signs were in his neighbor's yards, right, in his neighborhood community, and asked them when they were going to be having an open house. And then he just capitalized on the traffic that those agents were already going to be driving to the neighborhood. And he told those agents, hey, if people don't like the house you're sitting in, send them down to my house. And sure enough, somebody walked through the door and made him a full price offer, and he sold his house that way. So holding an open house is an effective way to find a buyer. It is not the number one way to find a buyer. It is just a way to find a buyer, right? And so I tell you this in addition to everything else I'm sharing with you on this podcast, that when you use all of these items and your house gets the most exposure possible, and when it gets the most exposure possible, then you are able to find a buyer. People are looking in so many different places to find homes that if your house is in as many places as possible, then people will find you and you'll end up finding a buyer that way. So an open house is a good way to do it. I personally, as a licensed agent, have sat in open houses and sold those homes. So I know that it works. So holding an open house is a way to find a buyer. Now, friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, you want to talk to everybody here. Remember when I talked about online and having your social media post and you tag people on that and you share that post and you get people to reshare it for you and retweet it for you and use it on Instagram and tag other people in it. This is such a big thing in social media agents are spending, like I said, millions and millions of dollars every year advertising on social media. because it works. So friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, tag them all in your social media posts, but talk to them as well. Tell them that your house is coming up for sale and have them help, you know, push the message out there. They might have friends at work who are looking for a shorter commute, and your neighborhood might be a shorter commute, right? So it's very possible that you're going to find a buyer from that network of people. This is what real estate agents do. They network with other people. They're really good agents, network with people. And so they're always pushing their properties out to those people. But I see so many people these days who are trying to sell their house. Even with a real estate agent, they'll just take that agent's listing and share it with all their friends and their family, and they're talking about it. The only difference from you and somebody who's listening with an agent is you're listening it yourself, and so you're gonna push that message out just like an agent would ask you to push that message out to share it to get the property. So just one thing to put in your marketing plan to find buyers. Okay, and then finally, working with a buyer's agent. I have given this impression before that agents are evil. They're not evil. They just are the highest cost in a transaction. And so if you can sell your house and avoid that cost, then great. That's the whole point of it. I'm trying to help you put more money in your pocket, as much money in your pocket as possible. And that requires that you cut out agent commissions. In some situations, working with a buyer's agent is still a good thing for you, because if they bring you a ready, willing, and able buyer, you are already saving the 3% on the listing side, right? So that's still thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars, depending on the price that you're selling your house at. So working with a buyer's agent is not the worst thing in the world. You have to go through your transaction, and if you're doing all those other things, if you're putting online, you're putting signs, you're using flyers, you're holding open houses, you're talking to your friends and your family and your coworkers, there's a chance that a buyer's agent will come along with a buyer that really wants the house. If you're willing to pay them a commission, which is always negotiable, then why not work with one? I'm not saying you have to do it. There are plenty of buyers that work without agents. They prefer to work without agents. You can incentivize buyers to work without agents, just like I've mentioned before. So working with a buyer's agent is another way to potentially find a buyer. Qualify that agent. If an agent calls you and says, hey, I've got a buyer that's interested in looking at your house, great, let's book a time. You know, I'd love to have you show them the house and then, you know, have the agent show the house. But if the agent says, I've got a client that would like to look at your house, but I'm going to preview it first, In my opinion, I wouldn't buy that. That's just oftentimes it's a ploy, unfortunately, by less scrupulous agents. And they are out there. Not every agent is that way, but they are out there and they're just trying to get in the house to potentially get a listing appointment with you. So pre-qualify that buyer's agent if they're calling you, telling you they've got a buyer, but they want to preview the house. But working with buyer's agents is a good way to find, you know, a buyer in some circumstances. So as always, I hope this information has been helpful to you. And let's do a recap before I sign off. You can find a buyer online. You can find a buyer using signs, yard signs, and directional signs. You can find a buyer using flyers. You can find a buyer through open houses. You can find a buyer by having your friends and your family and your coworkers and your neighbors tell everybody they know that your house is for sale, right? This is the opportunity for neighbors to, you know, pick their neighbor, right? And then, of course, working with a buyer's agent. Those are the number one ways that you can find a buyer for your property. So as always, again, I hope this information is helpful to you, and I hope to see you on the next podcast.